This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, my name is Stu Peters. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show, Bandness.tv. You can find me at StuPeters.tv. So much to cover. An hour is just not enough time, but that's all that I am blessed with to be here with you today. We're going to have Dr. Jane Ruby. Everybody's been talking about this shedding thing that has been going on. She has been researching this thing to the hilt. And the question is, you know, who can shed? How does it shed? How does it affect you? Is there a reversal for the injected, the inoculated, all these different questions? She's making news today. She's going to break news here on InfoWars. She's going to break news on the Alex Jones Show, and she is going to bless us with her presence. That's going to be a lot to get to. She's not available here for about another few minutes. But before that, I want to talk to you also about rehashing some of the things that I'm wondering why this wasn't brought up during the world's most prolific trial of Derek Chauvin in the so-called murder of George Floyd. Now, there were some things that were never discussed, and I want to know why. I briefly talked about this at StuPeters.tv during a show the other day, but I really want to get into it. And so today we're going to be joined by a former prosecutor. Wayne Ferguson will be here. But whether or not you agree with, you know, the way that the officers handled the situation, whether or not you agree with the department-approved tactics of Officer Derek Chauvin, former Minneapolis police officer Chauvin, that's not what I want to discuss here. I'm not here to debate the police tactics with you, and I don't care if you're a cop that agrees with him or disagrees with him. That's not, we're all people who want justice, and I know that due process is such a racist term. It's expecting for that to happen in the world of instant gratification, in a world where we are surrounded by people who are running toward a jab, tripping over each other, signing up for this thing. That, by the way, it took $1 billion in, quote, vaccine confidence to get people to go take. It's beyond me. People are walking around with ineffective, dirty, contaminated diapers on their face, voluntarily, vowing never to take them off again. That is the world that we live in. So to try to make sense of some of this to certain people is not going to happen, but we all, I think, want the same thing, which is justice and a clear picture of truth. And so my question is about a person who was directly responsible for the outcome, a person who had the opportunity to change it. That 9-minute video that we're all well too familiar with, those 9 minutes on the streets at 38th and Chicago on the south side of Minneapolis, never had to happen. And I want to know why we're not talking about it. I'd like to pose the question why Derek Chauvin's criminal defense team didn't really raise this as a major issue. Now, if you watched the trial in its entirety, you might remember the testimony of Jenna Scurry. She's the dispatcher. She's employed by the Minneapolis Emergency Communications Center, MECC. She was responsible for the response of police, fire, and medics to that scene in front of Cup Foods at 38th in Chicago. She was the principal dispatcher for the call. She had certain responsibilities that were extremely important for many reasons, but she violated policy, and nobody is talking about it. Why? We're gonna go over this, and I'm gonna have Wayne Ferguson in here to talk about whether or not this would have made a difference. But the Minneapolis dispatcher primary policy, who's responsible for tracking the MPD officers, updating their CAD, their computer screens, and then making sure that the public is afforded the proper resources that they are needed, the dispatcher's role in the delivery of those public safety services and the protection of her police, she has certain guidelines, certain policies that she's trained on in order to provide those services to the public and to the cops, and she didn't. She violated policy, and on May 25th, those 9 minutes would have never happened. That video would have never existed because Chauvin and Floyd would have not spent those 9 minutes together had she not violated policy. The police dispatcher responsibility policy is clearly outlined. She's been trained that each decision made by personnel working these positions is based on policy and procedure, and she violated that. I'm going to expose that, and we're going to talk about it with Wayne Ferguson coming up on the Alex Jones Show as we continue. My name is Stu Peters from StuPeters.tv. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Warning, warning, warning. The globalists have launched a massive counteroffensive against populist forces worldwide. They are censoring, they are attacking, they are arresting patriots all over the world. Churches in Europe, Australia, the UK and Canada, and even California, New York, are being SWAT teamed and closed because they're non-essential. The tyranny is incredible. But in areas like Texas, South Dakota, and Florida, where we have a history of more liberty, all the lockdowns are over, ladies and gentlemen. This is martial law. This has all been a massive martial law drill. And now it's more important than ever to spread the word about InfoWars and to support InfoWars. We have three of our best-selling products selling out, but despite that, they're all massively discounted. Turbo Force, it's 40% off. We've got Ultimate Fish Oil, 50% off, and Winter Sun for your immune system. It's 50% off as well. Best deal ever. Take advantage of it at InfoWarsStore.com and fund the InfoWar.
Dispatcher responsibility policy is clearly outlined. She was trained on it, but Jenna Scurry violated that policy, which resulted in that nine-minute video, the world's most prolific trial, the death of George Floyd, although I believe was imminent because of ingesting three times the lethal amount of fentanyl, could have been prevented if he was provided the attention that was necessary and those life-saving efforts could have started many, many, many minutes earlier, because Jenna Scurry's policy says that she should have started fire rescue, but never did. Now, let me just break this down for you. When about a minute 32 into their contact, officers there requested medics code 2. That means kind of a routine response, no lights and sirens. But just seconds later, they asked for Jenna Scurry to step up the medic response to code 3. Well, they originally told her that Floyd was bleeding from the mouth. He had a head injury. Her policy at the MECC clearly states that a head injury automatically adds fire rescue. Now, Station 17 for the Minneapolis Fire Department is six blocks away from 38th and Chicago, out in front of Cup Foods there. That full body camera footage, by the way, is displayed on YouTube and every. I mean, there's no place that you can go. There's no excuse for not seeing that body cam footage. But she had all kinds of different things at her disposal, including something that she normally doesn't have, which is video. She was actually watching this thing occur. So when she requested, when they requested medical for a head injury, she's automatically supposed to add fire rescue. These firefighters were sitting on their hands. Rescue was six blocks away. That response time for six blocks, how long does it take you to drive six blocks? I mean, less than a minute. But instead, they waited for 9 minutes. Now, when Floyd was pulled out of the vehicle and given over to medics, and then they went to a secondary location, they are the ones that had to call fire rescue. But those life-saving efforts would have started a long time prior to that. Now, the primary policy, it's right here laid out for you, dispatching calls for service, tracking of the MPD officers. We went over all of that. But radio and CAD, in that order, are the primary responsibilities of the dispatcher when assigned to the dispatcher position. It says it in bold right there, the primary responsibility. So why did Jenna Scurry not talk to her cops for more than 5 minutes? Didn't ask for a status update, didn't ask if they were good to go, didn't ask if they needed any additional resources. It's her job. She didn't add fire rescue. Then when they asked her just seconds later to step up that emergency response to code 3, lights and sirens, that is the cops telling Jenna Scurry, we need medical here. We want them here now. Whoever can get to the scene first, we want them here. She still did not add fire to the call. Why? Now, I have personal knowledge of police procedure because of my 18-year career working as a bail enforcement agent, as a fugitive investigator. I worked alongside cops for 18 years, specifically in the city of Minneapolis. A head injury, I'm going to quickly tell you right now, automatic fire rescue is added to a call. She didn't add it for the head injury. Code 3 response, we want him here right now. She didn't add it then either. So since making the policy violation discovery, I contacted 6 senior Minneapolis police officers, 3 of which are sergeants and have many years of experience dealing with uncooperative suspects and situations requiring medical response. All of them, 100% of them said that it's standard procedure for code 3 medical requests to dispatch fire to the call. 90% of the time, or 8 times out of 10, maybe 80% of the time, the cops canceled fire. But they're still sent. They're still added. Now, I reached out to a senior dispatcher from MECC who works there where Jenna Scurry works. And she said, quote, in the case of Floyd, both would be started, meaning EMS and fire, and it would be up to the cops to cancel fire. So she concurs with what all 6 cops said. So then I asked another veteran officer about this who responded to me, of course, both should have been added. From the cops' perspective and from what they were dealing with, it's easy to focus on all the a-holes yelling. By then, the cops assumed that they had asked for medical code 3 response and had asked for medics for a head injury, which should automatically include fire rescue. So she violated policy. Well, why is this important? Because Station 17, again, is just 6 blocks away, and those 9 minutes would have never happened. As an additional frustration, she testified that she was watching the milestone cameras and that she felt something was wrong. She testified to that. But yet she didn't communicate with her officers for another 5 minutes and finally did so only to update them, to advise them of EMS location, which was at the wrong place. 5 minutes. If something wasn't right, wouldn't the first step to take to be to communicate with her cops to find out what was going on, what was needed, what she could provide them with? I mean, these are just common sense questions, but what about actual policy? Well, when they were first requested for a head injury, they should have been added. That's in her policy. When the response was requested to be emergent, stepped up to code 3, meaning the first available medical resources to the scene right now, they still weren't added, and she still didn't communicate with her cops for 5 minutes. It couldn't be more clear that she was in violation of the clearly written directives pertaining to the criteria for adding rescue when they're not automatically part of the response. The very first bulleted point in that policy says that rescue should be added for spinal neck or head injuries, and she didn't do it. He had a head injury. The cop said he was bleeding from his mouth. That's not a leg injury. That's not an arm injury. He's bleeding from his mouth. That's a head injury. During her testimony, Scurry explained what code 3 means. She's very familiar with the term. She said, quote, emergent. They want them here as soon as possible. From a common sense, from a policy, and from a procedural standpoint, she was in complete violation. This is the policy that she has been trained on. Why didn't Chauvin's defense team make a really big deal out of this? She made comments about how her attention was distracted away from the cameras because she was going back and forth between her screen, adding remarks, dispatching other calls, yet she only dispatched 2 other incidents during that entire time. And still didn't talk to her cops for 5 minutes. Now, remember, we just displayed it on the screen here. According to police dispatcher responsibility, as clearly outlined, radio and CAD, in that order, are the primary responsibility of the dispatcher. So why the radio silence for 5 minutes? Why no rescue? Why the policy violation? And more importantly, why is it being shoved under the rug when Scurry's violation of that policy contributed directly to the death of George Floyd? And had she acted in accordance with policy and added rescue, who were only 6 blocks away, George Floyd would have been rendered the emergency medical attention that her cops were screaming for on the radio. Joining us right now is attorney Wayne Ferguson. He was a prosecutor. He is now the founder and the big boss over at Ferguson Law PA. Would this have made a difference, Wayne, if his defense team would have brought this up, these clear policy violations, could this have made a difference in the criminal outcome or conviction in this case?
Absolutely could have made a difference. And I don't think it can be overstated how big of a deal that this is that you're bringing up. I'm looking at the, granted, I'm a Florida attorney, but I am looking at the Minnesota jury instructions. Right here in the jury instructions, it says, for him to be found guilty to cause death, this is the definitions, the legal definitions that were given to the jury. And it says, The cause of death means that the defendant's actual actions were the substantial factor in the causing of George Floyd's death. The defendant is criminally liable for all the consequences of his actions that occur, and this is the important part, in the ordinary, natural, and course of events. And Stu, I think one of the big things that you're bringing up is there's nothing ordinary about this situation, right? I mean,
right.
If I'm the defense attorney, I'm sitting there, I'd be screaming that. Because what you say is, well, this is nothing ordinary and natural about this. You're saying that ordinary policy says that you're supposed to, dispatch medic, and when you're supposed to do all these things, and it never happened. I mean, this is a dereliction of duty, and frankly, I mean, you're talking about a head injury. I mean, is that the ordinary natural course of events for them not to call? No, it's absolutely not.
Oh, so policy. Add fire rescue for any head injury. I reached out to John Elder, the PIO for the Minneapolis Police Department. He said that they couldn't comment because the 911 is not a function of the police department, but rather an enterprise member of the city of Minneapolis. More on this when we come back. Stick around. Don't go anywhere. My name is Steve Peter.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Deb's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure, jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Where you can find me. We're talking about these blatant and clear policy violations by the emergency dispatcher for the city of Minneapolis during the George Floyd incident that led to the conviction of former officer Derek Chauvin, who was convicted of murder. And we've talked about how the cops were there screaming for medical help on the air, originally for a head injury, asking for a routine response. Floyd was bleeding from the mouth. Jenna Scurry automatically, by her policy, should have added fire to that call. Firefighters, rescue rigs, 6 blocks away. How long does it take you to drive 6 blocks? We talked about that. 9 minutes is what it took. There is fire station number 17, just 6 blocks away from 38th in Chicago, where officers were asking for medical response. Just seconds later, they upgraded that response level, begging for Jenna Scurry to send them emergent, code 3, lights and sirens. We want them here now. She still did not add fire. She said she was watching all of this unfold on cameras right in front of her and testified that normally dispatchers don't have access to that kind of a visual of the scene. So even being provided with additional information of what was going on there, she still did not upgrade. She still did not add fire, in complete violation and blatant disregard for policy and common sense. And didn't talk to her cops on the radio, which is her primary function, according to the description, according to her policy, and according to her procedure. Her primary function when dealing with this stuff is the radio and the CAD. What was she doing? She only dispatched 2 other calls. Now, if it can get more disturbing, even more disturbing than all of this, is that call to her sergeant that she testified she made. Now, this didn't happen until, what was it, 20-30 hours. That's 8:30 p.m. 12 minutes after they took George Floyd out of that squad car. 2 minutes after EMS requested rescue to start to the scene, which they should have never had to request because rescue should have arrived on the scene long before them. Had Jenna Scurry followed her policy, the policy that she's trained on. Now, it's believed that she still has a job. She also has not been criminally tried or prosecuted or charged. But if all of these other officers that were there that were begging her for this medical response, if they were there and they're all being charged because they're supposedly complicit or aided or added to the death of George Floyd, well, so did she. And why is nobody asking this question? If she was so concerned, like she testified, why did she wait so long to call her sergeant? Now, as I said, I reached out before we went to the break to John Elder. He's the public information officer for the Minneapolis Police Department. I called him for comment. I text him, rather. He told me that 911 is not a function of the Minneapolis Police Department, but rather an enterprise member of the city of Minneapolis. So I reached out then to the Minneapolis Emergency Communications Center, MECC, to try to get a hold of Jenna Scurry's supervisor or somebody there that could comment on this. But as of right now, the only response that they have given me is that we're not going to comment because there's an ongoing criminal probe into other officers, and there's still an investigation going on and a trial that will occur or multiple trials that will occur. There's also the federal DOJ civil rights trials and violations that Biden's going to come after them for. And I have also an inside source. I've never revealed this before. I'll do it right now here on InfoWars on the Alex Jones Show. I have an inside a person that works in the Minnesota Department of Corrections. Now, this person has been with the Department of Corrections for over 2 decades. They have been responsible for supervising the custody status of baby rapers, killers, cop killers, murderers, serial killers, all of these people. Not once ever has any elected representative ever requested information about an inmate. And now I'm getting information from this source, which can't obviously be in writing because of the sensitivity of this information, but that the governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, has contacted the commissioner of corrections, the supervisor that oversees all of the Minnesota prison system, and requested all of Derek Chauvin's communications while he has been in custody. Why would the governor, who's a non-law enforcement official, be requesting that information? Now, again, I cannot confirm that because I don't have, you know, the physical evidence in my hand that this has been done, but I have no reason to discredit or otherwise not believe my source, who's worked there for over two decades. This person is very concerned about that happening, and it's very clear that this political prisoner is trying to be, they're attempting to bury him beyond belief. Now, 911 dispatchers are often taught that seconds save lives. In this case, rescue would have made that difference. That 9-minute video would have never existed because those 9 minutes would have never occurred if that dispatcher, Jenna Scurry, had taken her job seriously and followed policy. Those 9 minutes would have never occurred, and George Floyd may still be alive. Joining us here for the last couple of minutes of this segment is attorney Wayne Ferguson, Ferguson Law PA. He's in Florida, but he's very familiar with these Minnesota statutes and this direction to the jury. Wayne, before we went, you said that this positively could have made a difference in the trial. Why could you speculate? And I know that you're not here and I know that you weren't involved, but can you speculate as to what possible reasons Derek Chauvin's defense team might have had for not really making a serious issue out of this blatant, clear violation of policy that can be easily substantiated through radio traffic, body cam footage, all of the audio, the 911 recordings, the bystander video, the policy that we've laid out here? It clearly shows that Jenna Scurry did not act inside of that policy with medics and proper medical care sitting just six blocks away. Why would a defense team just let that breeze by without creating a hellstorm?
Sue, I have no idea. That's a great question. I would be screaming this at the jury, like I said before, because here's the thing. The jury instructions say the defendant is not criminally liable if a superseding cause caused the death. A superseding cause is one that that intervenes, or one that changes or alters the natural sequence of events. So, to your point, if this never would have happened, would that have altered the natural course of events? Absolutely. It wouldn't have happened. So the jury was told in the jury instructions that if there was a superseding cause, Mr. Chauvin is not guilty. But yet this wasn't raised, and it's very strange at best why they didn't do that.
Well, we really appreciate you being here, and we appreciate your insight on that. Wayne Ferguson, Ferguson Law PA out of Florida. We appreciate your expertise. And you got to try to start thinking about all of the reasons why. And in a world full of mis and disinformation and all these conspiracy theories, I interviewed George Papadopoulos yesterday talking about John Durham and why it's taking so long on the Durham deal. You start thinking about everything involved with a global effort to, like, unseat a president, you know, to hijack an election, to topple an entire political system, and Black Lives Matter being the fastest growing political party in the world. You got to consider everything to be a possibility. More of the Alex Jones Show.
Listen up, Patriots. I'm running a sale that's the biggest I've ever run on three products that are already selling out. well, then why am I selling it then at 50% off or 60% off, depending on which sale you go with? Because I know a lot of you are on the fence, you haven't tried it, and I know you're going to get hooked once you do. So for 1 week only, we're running 50% off on Ultimate Fish Oil, 50% off on Winter Sun with D3 and K for Immune System, and, oh my gosh, people love this so much, been sold out for months back in limited supply, Turbo Force 10-hour clean energy is 40% off. But you can get them all three together in the Optimum Trifecta Pack for 60% off. We've never offered that on these products. It's basically a lost leader. I want you to get them. I want you to try them. I want you to love them. So believe me, you're going to be blown away. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. We're running this Monday through Sunday, and the deal is over. Best deal ever. Take advantage of it at InfoWarsStore.com and fund the InfoWar.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
At the end of that interview, he told me nobody has ever asked those questions. Nobody's ever interviewed me like that. And I'm telling you, you got to get over there. It's also at InfoWars website, and you can check it out there as well. We got to get right into this. There's a lot of very important information to get to on these companies that are pushing these evil injections. They skipped over all the animal studies, all these preclinical trials, all of this work prior to jabbing humans. Dr. Jane Ruby has, she brought us the shedding thing. We've been talking about the shedding. We now have revealed that inside of these injections is a substance that's not approved for humans or even veterinary use. You know, we've studied the SARS-CoV-2 and spike proteins, but Dr. Ruby is here now because she has a bombshell. She's making news today on a report about where these spike particles were showing up. And that is the source of the shedding. Dr. Ruby, thanks a lot for being here.
My pleasure, Stu. I've got this incredible report. It's actually buttressed by a number of preclinical researchers with regard to the potential mechanism or vehicle, if you will, for this shedding phenomenon, which Pfizer itself in its own documentation warned about with regard to men who have gotten the jab and then are intimately involved or even with close proximity with to their wives in terms of a fear of miscarriage. The vehicle that this shedding seems to be happening through, and I've never said that science was going to be pretty, but it's fecal, it could be fecal transmission. It looks like it is a fecal oral or a fecal hand to oral. Why do I say this? What they have found is that when this jab and the material in it forces your body to make the spike proteins, and everybody should be very familiar with what these things are now, what it does is the process is called a proteolytic process. Big fancy name for when the process of forcing you to make the spikes occurs. These things don't happen in a vacuum, Stu. The cells send out what's called exosomes. These exosomes can take the spike proteins, and we know that the spike proteins are going to end up in every cell in your body very quickly. But these exosomes are the transport mechanism to get the spike protein into every cell in your body, including a concentration, if you will, in the feces. One researcher found that fecal RNA from these spike proteins is detected in over 70% of patients with viral shedding through their GI tract. And as I said, it's not pretty. We've heard about other diseases that are transmitted through the fecal oral route. It comes from not washing, you know, your hands properly after passing feces. And I have said to people before breaking this, just get different bathrooms or use different bathrooms because it looks like there is a transmission mechanically, possibly through the hands. But remember, there have been studies for years now talking about how if you flush the toilet after passing feces, the fecal material does get on your countertops, your toothbrushes. Those are not myths. And so we think that we're putting this together. And if we are, we can at least offer some hope and get let people protect themselves. I wanted to share from a couple of researchers out in Portland, Oregon, if you can imagine this, in a virus vaccine journal. They actually directly address the vaccine shedding. And what they basically said is that through the exosomes, it is very possible and very likely that these spike proteins are being transmitted. Now, remember what I've said from the beginning. We know that the spike protein is the pathogen. That is what that means is that's what's causing the illness. The spike protein is what makes you sick, makes you come down with the flu-like symptoms. And they are highly contagious because remember their function as they stick out from the cellular or, you know, viral cellular capsule is to snag and damage healthy cells that are flying by. So this is just unprecedented. I don't see this anywhere in the news. I do think you're going to start to hear more and more of it. And I'm happy to break it on your show here with Alex Jones and company because, after all, Alex has been a major predictor of all of these atrocities.
So you're saying basically that if an injected person, if you're living with an injected person, maybe your spouse got injected prior to this information being at their disposal. Maybe they work for Delta Airlines where it's being required that you're vaccinated before you're allowed to work, or one of these other, you know, globalist manipulated companies that is unconstitutionally forcing people to become inoculated with an experimental injection that we have proven to be damaging. VAERS numbers are being deleted, and still through the VAERS data, even after we exposed individual cases of child deaths, 5-month-old babies after breastfeeding, that is part of the shedding that you're talking about. The 5-month-old did not get inoculated. The 5-month-old did not get the vaccine, quote unquote. His or her mother was who received the vaccine. And then through breastfeeding, apparently, is how this baby experienced, you know, catastrophic organ failure and then ultimately death. We have 15, 16, 17-year-olds that were being reported to VAERS. Since we brought attention to that, the corruption has gotten into VAERS. Those particular numbers, VAERS ID numbers that I shared on the national platform have been removed. They've been deleted. The VAERS search function altogether, Dr. Ruby, was disabled for 48 hours after that broadcast. And then Tucker Carlson brought attention to that the VAERS functionality was being hindered or disabled in some way, shape, or form, alluding to a possible collusion or conspiracy to prevent the information from becoming public. But despite all of the corruption and despite all of the variance in the factors and the numbers and the reporting, it's really all we have to go on. And that is still suggesting that there are now over 73,000 vaccine-related injuries or deaths resulting from these injections that we used to refer to as experimental, but I don't think it's an experiment. I think they know exactly what they were doing, and there's evidence to suggest, Dr. Ruby, that they knew about this stuff.
Yes, they definitely knew about it, Sue. As I said, and we posted it on the show before, Pfizer put out a warning in their protocol documents about the transmission. And remember, we've been talking about transmission for a long time, but we haven't really had a handle or much of a handle on the mode of transmission. These folks also, these researchers also said that there were high concentrations in sputum, mucus, epithelial lining. Epithelial lining lines your organs. And bronchial lavage. That's a different story. But the point of this is that if the over 70% of these spike proteins are found in fecal material, there is a definite mechanical. What I mean by that is it's not biochemical; it's physical, inside the body to outside the body of transmission. And this is incredibly dangerous. But I also think it suggests that there is a way to protect ourselves from the unvaccinated. I'm getting a ton of mail since being on your show and Alex's show from people saying, look, I've got a relative, a family member, a parent, a significant other who's vaccinated or, as I like to say, you know, experimentally injected. And how much risk am I at? And I think you're at somewhat of high risk, but now we know where it might be coming from. So we could do some practical things, like a little more hand washing and using different bathrooms. We don't know how long this effect lasts. And the part that makes me really angry and concerned, Stu, is that they've known about it all along, and the mechanism for these jabs is to force your body, I want to keep emphasizing this, to force your body to do what? To replicate in the billions these spike proteins that we now know are the pathogens. They're the disease causers of COVID-19, and they're causing much more than that. They're really competing with the ACE2 receptor, which is the ACE2 is protective in your body. And what's happening is by these spike proteins kind of nudging out the ACE2 enzyme and jumping on that receptor, the spikes are causing all kinds of physical damage, like the bleeding, the blood clots, the miscarriages, the damage to placenta.
Very scary stuff. Glad that there is some positive takeaway, that there's a way to try to cut down on some of this spread. Maybe not engage in gay sex would be number one of them, anal sex, obviously, and then also to maybe use a different bathroom. There's also a meeting that nobody's talking about that the CDC had way back in December of 2020, and we're going to talk about that after the break. This is the Alex Jones Show. My name is Stu Peters. Stick around.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the health insurance hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
As life in America looks to return to normal, how can you succeed in the new stock market? With the tech dip, volatility with interest rates, and fear around the yield curve, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 813-813 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text money to 813-813 to find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text the word money to 813-813. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance and maximize your gains. Text money to 813-813. Experience Vantage Point for free. Learn how successful traders generate their wealth. Don't wait. Text the word money to 813-813.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
The new site, the banning just continues. The globalists in their panic, in all of the panic, to try to keep the people from exposing the truth about everything that's going on as these globalists continue to tighten the news, controlling world economies, changing healthcare. Now the buzzwords are Social Security and cryptocurrency. Why? I've got something on that over at StuPeters.tv. I hope you'll join us there. We have Dr. Jane Ruby here. Very important stuff. She's making news today, folks. Breaking information on how this shedding occurs, which is really bad news for homosexuals specifically. But also, if you share a bathroom with somebody who's been injected or inoculated, try to avoid doing that if you can, because right now Dr. Ruby is suggesting that feces or fecal matter is the primary way that this shedding is occurring, which could make you very sick, ultimately even lead to your death, bleeding from your eyes and ears. I mean, this stuff is actually occurring, folks. This isn't hyperbole for shock value programming here on InfoWars. But the second issue that I want to address with Dr. Ruby is this. Nobody's talking about the CDC's big meeting called the update on December 20th. before this whole jab program ramped up. And it seems that the committee had a whole lot of recommendations, Dr. Ruby, to protect people that everyone is ignoring in this big jab push. What did you discover about this meeting?
Well, you know, Stu, all we've heard from the beginning, from experts, the CDC, Fauci, all these people, is that the vaccines are safe, the injections are safe, babies, unborn babies, pregnant women. All of a sudden now we have this report coming out from a December 2020 meeting, and what I've learned is that that committee had a whole lot of recommendations to their audience. And let me share something with you. They talked about the fact that the vaccine should be deferred for anyone with an allergic reaction. And let me say, they defined allergic reaction. First of all, the most severe form of an allergic reaction is an anaphylactic reaction, which is a full body, you know, can't breathe, swelling, airway shuts down. It's a momentary crisis, and you need immediate emergency medical help. But beyond that, and there have been a lot of those, but beyond that, they define, and appropriately so, I might add, that the definition of an immediate allergic reaction also includes signs or symptoms such as urticaria, which is itching, angioedema, which is any swelling anywhere in your ears, your nose, your throat, respiratory distress. How many times have we seen in the VAERS database? Wheezing, stridor, which is sort of an audible attempt to breathe. Like a wheezing type thing that occurs within 4 hours of administration. So they're talking about, first of all, defining that and giving the audience of doctors guidance. And guess what the guidance was, Stu? And I'll read it directly from their report. And this is in the public domain as well. Here's my favorite bullet point. Persons with an immediate allergic reaction to the first dose of mRNA vaccine should not receive additional doses of either of the mRNA COVID-19 vaccines. Let me repeat a part of that sentence. Anyone who gets a reaction to the injection should not get an additional dose. That, in other words, that those both of those companies with mRNA require a second dose. Stu, this is outrageous. And this is not even touching on the other issue that we're now looking at excipients. You're showing now, you know, actually the breakdown of symptoms. And really, in the first column, they're telling doctors to either defer the first shot or don't give them the second shot. We don't hear that right now. We're hearing that they're setting up clinics in schools, and they're enlisting the help of pediatricians, I'm sure financially, by incentivizing them to jab now babies, you know, months old, as well as small children. This has got to stop. They're not even following their own guidelines to doctors.
Well, that's not surprising. You know, yesterday it broke that this SM-102, it's been kind of talked about, but this is that lipid nanoparticle that is, it's not even approved for human or veterinary use. It's got this luciferase name, which may be actually a religious exemption for people. You're not going to put anything in your body with the name Lucifer in it. So maybe you want to take note of that. And then also, now you were talking about this eight-month-old that was jabbed. You broke that the other day. There was a big story on the youngest person to be, quote-unquote, vaccinated or jabbed with this. That little poor baby has no idea the rest of his life, you know, why he's going to have all these side effects and weird things happening to him. The positive takeaway is that the daily count of people receiving dose one reported to the CDC by the date administered here in the United States has gone down significantly since Alex Jones and myself have begun really talking about this, specifically to the thanks of people like you and other brave doctors like Carrie Madej and, you know, Simone Gold and some of these other people that have been coming forward. McCullough, there's some other really good doctors that are being brave out here coming forward. I talked to a person in the UK who says that a coroner during an inquest is actually going to confirm that it was the injection that killed his wife, Kim. We talked about that. But now let's talk about this. What about the question that hasn't been asked? The $1 billion that was spent of taxpayer money, a billion, that's a billion with a B, of your money and of my money that was allocated towards what they're calling vaccine confidence. Now, Dr. Ruby, you just said that these people are ignoring the guidance, right? They're ignoring the warnings. They've been warned. They had this. There was a conference, you know, the CDC way back in December. They knew about all this. There's still pushing for this, and now $1 billion spent in vaccine confidence. What does that mean? Well, what that means is that they're using social media like Facebook and Twitter. They're paying these oligarchs, basically, which is the reason why you're fact-checked. It's the reason why you're censored. It's the reason why your accounts get banned, suspended, or deleted, because they are paid to do that by the globalists who want you so desperately to be injected with this thing. And the reason they want you injected with this thing right now is because, Dr. Ruby, I'm going to speculate, it's more than likely with this this lipid nanoparticle, this ingredient that's not even approved for humans or let alone veterinary use, it's going to come out that we're seeing the decrease in people that are signing up to get this unknown jab. And I believe that the FDA is going to not have an easy time approving this thing. So the push to get it to get everybody inoculated before the FDA says, we can't approve this thing. Do you agree that might be an over the target analysis of why this money is being spent on convincing everybody to sales pitch to go get inoculated?
Of course. In fact, I think they want to push this thing so far to get as many people injected as possible before people really find out what this is really about, what's going on, and what's inside of these things. And by the way, if you didn't get the Moderna, but you got the Pfizer or any of the others, don't feel like you've escaped this SM-102 and the dangers of it. There are other excipients that are used for the nanolipid particle, like polyethylene glycol. You might say, well, they use it in small amounts, you know, and it's in the human body and, you know, face injections by cosmetologists and things like that. No, this is a very dangerous material. We have no idea. They won't disclose how much of it, what the concentration is in that injection. It could be very, very different from just the whatever the normal amounts are. And so I think there's a rush, and I think everyone should be super suspicious. Why would they rush to vaccinate and inject people with something that is now over? There are virtually zero cases of death cases. I mean, and now we're pushing it on our small children and babies to kind of finish this whole process up. I keep telling people, Stu, they've got to wait. You don't lose anything right now by holding off
this thing, and the reason why there aren't any new cases, and we're coming to find out right now that it's not really the virus that's making you sick, but rather that it's the spike proteins, and the spike proteins are found in and created by whatever's inside of these injections, which now we're slowly starting to realize are things that are not even approved for animals. Dr. Jane Ruby, so much. And breaking news here on the Alex Jones Show at freeworldnews.tv about this shedding and what is causing it. We certainly appreciate your expertise and your responsibility in not coming out here causing a panic, because you told me yesterday that you were looking into something that could help identify this shedding stuff. If you have information, tips, or a story that you want to get to Dr. Ruby, she wants to make her personal Proton email available to you, by the way, at drjaneruby@protonmail.com. And we appreciate her being here. Owen is coming up next. He's got the war room. And my name is Stu Peters. By the way, I want to remind you to get over to StuPeters.tv after you leave freeworldnews.tv to check out that George Papadopoulos interview. If you want to know what's taking so long with the Durham report, well, he names names. He goes right into all of the reasons, all of the players that are involved. This is a global concerted effort to topple the entire political system of our republic, and it's shocking. My name is Stu Peters. Thanks for having me on the Alex Jones Show. We'll see you.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$1,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.